Well, as you see, we're going to do the Lord's Supper today. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. We're getting prepared. We do this every 3 months. And just not because you have to do it. It's the way we do it so we can remember to do it. And every time we do it, I just think, who started getting platters and where did all this stuff start? I mean, you know at that night, there weren't platters like this, and it wasn't like all this. It was, I don't know. I just think of all the little traditions and religious things that we incorporate into this whole ceremony and all that stuff. But it's really, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance. And I say it every time, this is not going to get you saved. This is not a mass. This is not a sacrifice. This is an opportunity to consider yourself in light of the body of Christ and to examine yourself. And it's just an opportunity to maybe reset or just a time of self-examination. I guess every Sunday can be that way, or really every day can be that way. But this is a time where we specifically remember the body of Jesus Christ and what he did in that body to accomplish salvation, sacrifice, fashioning a body that eventually for us, fashioning a body like his body. But if you would, let's do this. I'm not going to start in the normal place. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And that's where we'll be for the most part. But I'm gonna read several verses to you, or have you guys look at several verses, because this service is specifically to remember the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, and you guys with the music, what we'll do at the end, wherever you guys are, oh, there you are. We'll do a hymn at the end of this, so. Y'all, instead of doing the normal invitation time, we'll sing a hymn like they did that night. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says this, remembering Jesus Christ's sacrifice. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Let's pray, and then we'll remember Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Let's pray first. Father, I thank you, really, at this time, I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation, for justification, for peace with God, and what Jesus Christ has accomplished in that body, and what he accomplished for me, what he accomplished for several folks in here, I'm sure, but and the opportunity for anybody in here to trust Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, I pray today we would honor that memory, honor what he did. And we're here not because Jesus Christ is dead, but because Jesus Christ is very much alive, and he is life. But we just want to remember the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, on my behalf. And if there's anybody here that's not saved, I pray they'd understand what we're doing, and that this doesn't save you. This doesn't and incorporate you into the body of Christ. This is a memorial. This is a remembrance of the body of Christ. And the Bible says we do this until he comes again. And so we don't want to do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray we would in light of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 1 Peter 3:18. Usually, you know, you go to 1 Corinthians 11, but I wanted to do something else today to remember the body of Jesus Christ. And as I've said it, I think, every time, but it bears repeating to understand what we're doing. This is a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the body of Jesus Christ is now in heaven with God the Father. He is the only man that resurrected from the dead or came up from the dead on his own. Not because he raised other people from the dead during his lifetime, but rose from the dead and then ascended to God the Father and stands as a mediator between man and God as the only representative human being for all of mankind before God the Father. That's who Jesus Christ is. Before he became a man, he is God. He's the creator of all things. But as a man, he is the human representative for all of mankind. The Bible says, in Adam all die. All of humanity is in Adam. But in Christ, we'll all be made alive. And Jesus Christ is the last, the Bible says, the last Adam. Adam is the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Everybody's in the first Adam. And whoever wants to be can be in the last Adam and have life. Now, how Jesus Christ accomplished all that, to destroy the works of the devil, to beat sin in a body, the way he did that, he takes on the body of mankind and beats temptation and offers his holy, sinless flesh and blood as a holy sacrifice to replace man, because the wages of sin is death, and to replace mankind as an offering that is acceptable now with God the Father. And so, if you choose, if you understand, you come to a point in your life, you understand, I'm a sinner, the wages of sin is death, I need a Savior, and there's only one man that could ever save me, Jesus Christ. You are a candidate now, and you're a candidate for salvation. You trust Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And I'm not going to assume everybody here is saved. I don't know. But what we're going to do here is a remembrance of that sacrifice for your sins if you're saved. Jesus Christ sacrificed for sin. So here's what the verse says. For Christ also hath once suffered. This is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now let's take this verse apart a little bit as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. First thing I want you to notice is that his sacrifice is sufficient. So he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. In the Old Testament, the Jews would, on a regular basis, bring in sacrifices. And the reason they did that on a regular basis is because what they were doing didn't accomplish what needed to be accomplished. It was a temporary, I don't want to say carnal fix, but it was a temporary atonement, kind of a new lease on life, so to speak. But it would not accomplish what needed to be accomplished. He says over there in Hebrews, he said the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. Jesus Christ, when he offered his body as a sacrifice, he did that one time. And he's not going to do it again. And that one time is sufficient for all of mankind. And the reason it's sufficient for all of mankind, he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The reason it's sufficient for all of mankind is because God the Father accepts that sacrifice. And when he accepts the sacrifice, there doesn't need to be another sacrifice. So Jesus Christ's offering for sins, the Bible says Christ also hath once suffered for sins one time. That's one time. Now, if you'll notice, just to make a comparison, almost every other belief system, every other religion says, if you do not perform well, you are not in good with God. I mean, everybody came from some kind of past. If you trusted Jesus Christ, you either came out of a religion or you came out of nothing. You came from somewhere. But your belief system basically amounted to, if I do good, I'm good with God. If I do bad, I'm bad with God. And everyone who says that believes they do good. That's what everyone who says, if you do good, you're good with God. If you do bad, you're bad with God. Well, anyone who says that says, well, I'm good. Because they all believe, every man proclaims his own righteousness. Salvation has nothing to do with your performance. Salvation has everything to do with Jesus Christ's performance in the flesh. And the reason he offers, again, one sacrifice, suffering one time, is because it's acceptable to God and it doesn't need to be repeated over and over. The reason you do something over and over and over and over again is because it does not accomplish what you want it to accomplish. It, put it this way, it doesn't satisfy. We like Mike said, I'm sure you guys did the same thing. You ate Thanksgiving or you had some kind of meal the other day, a big Thanksgiving, and probably, maybe not the next day, but probably Saturday, you were probably hungry again. No. Yeah. Okay, by that night, you're eating Thanksgiving again because you're still hungry. But, you understand. I mean, it's an illustration of something that just doesn't satisfy. It you will keep doing this thing over and over and over and over again, and it's not once and for all. On the other hand, Jesus Christ's sacrifice is once for all. Never going to do it again. Doesn't need to do it again. And the reason he doesn't need to do it again is because God the Father has accepted it. That's all that needed to be done in Jesus Christ. Let me show you. Well, I'll read this verse, but look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. I want you to read these verses with me. Hebrews 9, 24. This is an opportunity to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what we'll do, we'll look at some verses that describe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the various elements of that sacrifice. His sacrifice was, first of all, his sacrifice was sufficient. Hebrews chapter 9, 24 says this: For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So you know what Jesus Christ is? He is the only human being that stands in the presence of God on behalf of all of humanity. He is the mediator between God and mankind. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 28, really significant. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. So that is a sufficient sacrifice. He says over there in Luke, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 says, Jesus Christ is talking, and he's explaining his sacrifice, and he says, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. One time, because that was all that was needed, because that satisfied God the Father. And not that God the Father is a tyrant, not that God the Father just wanted to hurt people or needed blood because he's bloodthirsty. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ would provide the only holy substitutionary sacrifice for sins. All right, here's the next thing. It's sufficient. It's substitutionary. Looking back in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. All right, in that verse, here's a question, Sunday school class. Who is the just in that verse? Jesus Christ is the just. Who is the unjust in that verse? Us. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice is not only sufficient, it is substitutionary. So the just man dies for unjust mankind. He says over there, Romans, Paul says it, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he goes on to say, while we were enemies of God, enemies, Jesus Christ lays down his life and provides the sacrifice for sins that is a substitutionary death. And so here's what God the Father says. Here's what it means to be substitutionary. Your life, you're in sin. You sin on a regular basis. I sin on a regular basis. If you trust Jesus Christ, guess what? You're still going to sin. I mean, it may be a shock, but you're still going to sin. The fortunate thing or the blessing is the substitution of Jesus Christ is God doesn't take your life. He says, on the basis of Jesus Christ, I will accept you on the basis of Jesus Christ. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, I have accepted Jesus Christ's life, sacrifice, death, burial, resurrection. I have accepted his sacrifice. And if you'll come to Jesus Christ, I will account to your account the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I know we've gone over it several times, but when you by faith trust Jesus Christ, you don't become sinless at that time. However, you have someone else's righteousness put into your account now. God takes the righteousness, his righteousness, which is in Jesus Christ, and he says, you know what, for this sinner, because they've come to Jesus Christ, because they're looking to me for righteousness, I am willing now to account and to credit them with righteousness. You know what that is? That's a substitution. That's no longer my life, that's Jesus Christ's life. And thank God, he doesn't look at my life, thank God he looks at Jesus Christ's life. His life is substitutionary, the just for the unjust. Here's a couple of verses. I'll just read them to you. I don't want it to take too long on these things. But I want you to understand them and appreciate them. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a substitution. That means you're not righteous, but God is willing to credit you righteousness. He's willing to put on your account the righteousness of God that was in Jesus Christ if you'll come to him looking for that righteousness. Here's another one. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So Adam is a representative of all mankind. In Adam, all die. Jesus Christ is a representative of whosoever will come to him. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God, and he is the substitutionary sacrifice, the substitutionary righteousness, and he is he takes your place. That's substitution. He takes your place if you've trusted Jesus Christ. All right, his sacrifice is substitutionary. Next thing, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. That's substitutionary. That he might bring us to God. His sacrifice is reconciling. This is, I don't understand some of the teachings and all that stuff, but I don't want to deal with all that stuff. Jesus Christ is the only person that can bring you to God. There is no other way of salvation. There's no law you can keep. There was no law in the Old Testament they could keep to bring them to God. Everybody that trusted by faith, I'll just deal with this for a second. When a person believed what God said in the Old Testament, Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. When they died, you read in Luke 16, they went to a place called paradise and it was in the earth. And you know what they waited for? Somebody to bring them to God. That's what they waited for. And they waited until Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to the Father, where they would be brought to God the Father by Jesus Christ. There's no other way to do this. And anything that minimizes the work of Jesus Christ, you can just count on it. Anything that minimizes the work of Jesus Christ is false doctrine. Anything that says, well, there's Jesus Christ died on the cross, but there's another way to do this. You can just count on it. That's false doctrine. There's no other way to do this. If Jesus Christ doesn't bring a soul to God, that soul doesn't get to God. His death and sacrifice is reconciling. I tell you what. Look over in Colossians. I'll show you this verse. It's a good one to read. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 20, speaking of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. It says this, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And he goes on to describe all that stuff. The work of God in Jesus Christ is to bring things that were apart from God back to God. To reconcile all things back to God. That's the work of Jesus Christ. Back over in 1 Peter chapter 3, so his work is reconciling. His sacrifice is sufficient. His sacrifice is substitutionary. His sacrifice is reconciling. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. All right, so his sacrifice is complete. He died. He didn't faint. He didn't pass out. He died. It wasn't a partial sacrifice. It was the whole thing. He sacrificed his entire body. His life was gone. I mean, his life was out of the body, body put in a tomb. Sacrifice is complete. The Bible says, he said this over in John chapter 15. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Now, here's the thing that we, if you're not saved, all right, understand, if you're not saved, this is what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has laid down his life, made an acceptable sacrifice, so that your sins could be paid for, to ensure that your sins are paid for. If you're not saved, what you're essentially saying to God is, I don't need the sacrifice. I've heard the stories about Jesus dying on the cross, but I don't really need all that. You know, I'll make my own way and all that kind of stuff. Again, if there was another way, Jesus Christ wouldn't be on the cross. If there's another way, Jesus Christ wouldn't be on the cross. And if you choose to allow, or to put it this way, if you choose to simply neglect that offer of salvation, the consequence is you just pay for your own sins, which God will let you do. His offer is not a mandate. He's not going to force you into this position. He offers you freely righteousness as a gift. But if you don't want God's righteousness for various reasons, whatever the reason, you don't feel like you need it, whatever the reason, you will be free to pay for your own sins. And that's up to you. That's your choice. Now, on the other hand, some of you have trusted Jesus Christ, and you've come to the understanding that I am a sinner. I need salvation. I need God's righteousness. There's no way, no way on earth or in heaven, there's no way I can accomplish what needs to be accomplished, because I'm not in a position to accomplish it. I am in the position of a criminal charge against, with a list of things against God. I need either someone to be my advocate. I need someone to substitute themselves. I need someone to pay the penalty for my sin. Jesus Christ does that. His sacrifice is complete. He dies. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ dies. He doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't faint. He dies. And then he raises again. And that's the last part of this verse. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And quickened just means alive. I mean, if you ever cut your fingernails a little bit short, and you get down to the living part, the quick, then you feel some pain. All right, that's what quickened means. It just means alive. His sacrifice was successful. Quickened by the Spirit. Quickened means to be made alive. He's resurrected. And the work of Jesus Christ is vindicated in that. Look over in Romans chapter 1, and I'll give you this verse, and then we'll look at 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 1. Verse 4. About the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the fundamental thing. When Paul says in Romans 10, before we read this, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You understand believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ doesn't save you. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the saving element. You're looking forward to a day, if you're saved, a lot of people profess to believe in the sacrifice. If you go to some other churches, some other religions, cults, they'll have crosses on the wall and stuff like that. They know Jesus Christ was sacrificed. But to actually believe that he is living, he's not on the cross anymore. That's a fundamental part of the gospel. It's not just the death and burial of Jesus Christ. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection sets Jesus Christ apart from any other belief system you want to have. So here's what Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says of Jesus Christ. He's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the vindication that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. He is the Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. And the resurrection is the power of God to bring life where death is, to raise the dead, to take a body that has no life in it and impart life to it. The fundamental thing you have to believe is that the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead after dying for your sins. And here's the reason why. If Jesus Christ dies and is in a grave today, that's where your religion ends, a grave. Because every other belief system follows a guy who's in a cemetery somewhere. You say, well, I kind of like the teachings of, I don't know, whoever. I kind of like the teachings of just the guys we normally pick on, you know, Buddha or whatever. I kind of like the teachings of Buddha. Okay, good. His philosophy ended at a grave. He had no power over that. That was the end of that. He couldn't tell you. He couldn't display. He couldn't bring life out of death. But Jesus Christ is life. And so here's as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the body that went into a grave, rose again and ascended up to the Father, and now the Bible says is seated at the right hand of God the Father and is the mediator for all of mankind. So let's look at 1 Corinthians and we'll get to the Lord's Supper here, as I think we've explained it enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. So the night Jesus Christ is crucified, or the night before he's crucified, they're enjoying or they're partaking of the Passover meal, which becomes this, it becomes the Lord's Supper, what we're doing here. And the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Now, here's the thing. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. He's coming again. The body that ascended up into heaven, the body that was in a grave, that ascended up into heaven, is the same body that's coming back down. it's just coming back down in glory. And every eye will see him. And they'll see who is pierced. They will see, every eye will behold him. And all the earth will know the glory of God. For better or for worse, all of the earth will know the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And so what we do here, we do this in remembrance of the same body that shed blood for my sins, for your sins. And it's a remembrance. It's a memorial. It's a time to remember the sacrifice. A sacrifice that God didn't have to do, but he chose to do.